Welcome to the NBA Roadshow, episode number 350. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me. We're also going to have a little guest appearance here and there by Hot T himself, Oscar Willis from the World MMA Award nominated The Mac Life. In fact, the World MMA Award nominated himself, Oscar Willis. For two more days. That's right. We find out on Friday which one of us is taking home the hardware, right? I mean, we're pretty sure that between our outlets, between us, it's pretty much guaranteed that both those awards are coming home.
Considered, you know, we're against frauds and charlatans, John. I can't imagine anyone else is taking that home.
Wow. Shots fired early.
I was thinking, should we have called this the original Pub Talk when we started?
Well, I know we decided to go with the
MMA Road Show.
I was going to say, we just got a chance to sit through another episode of the
very funny, original concept.
I believe it's called the Mac Life Road Show with Oscar Willis. It's a fantastic program where, of course,
how
Oscar
dare you interrupt us?
Poor service. She's like, she doesn't know. You can't interrupt. We just go. She looked so bad on her face. You can't interrupt the MMA Rosa.
Just roll it.
Another spectacular episode of Pub Talk.
Very funny.
The Mac Life Roadshow with Oscar Willis. Check it out on YouTube. You and Dan Hooker. The series coming soon to a close, at least for now, right?
Well, we're hoping to cram another one in, as she said, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Depending on how Tied to Avars' after party goes for Dan, I guess, was the real kicker. And also, look, I like to go out and visit the sites on Saturday nights after fights myself. So who knows who goes to bed?
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I heard you guys talking about the plans for Sunday, and I thought to myself, episode's not happening. Episode's not happening.
Because we're going to be down at the T-Mobile, and it's always late night. I feel like super late when we get out of there.
It's going to be late night. But I'm less worried about Oscar than I am really about Dan. I mean, I think Oscar's going to be – but Dan at Tai Tuivasa's after party, I just don't see that going well for anybody.
But, you know, Dan gets like a – I've since getting to know Dan a little bit through this whole show and this process, he's a bit of a stoic guy.
Right.
It's a bit weird to have some dude, like, talk about an after party and not invite you to even fucking once.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. All right, well, listen. Hey. Cold Coffee, 350 episodes. I know, you know, it's just a round number. It doesn't really mean anything, but it's another little milestone, right?
That's 350 quite the milestone.
consecutive weeks, by the way. Maybe a day early. We're doing the Wednesday thing again, but I like it, man. We just did a media day, 16 interviews in the can.
Well, I mean, it was a last-minute decision that we sort of just abruptly came to. I mean, even though we kind of knew that there was the possibility that we were going to definitely do this, but it just makes so much sense when we know that tomorrow – even if everything works out great and the day goes splendid, awesome. But we know that anytime you take going into other locations and you're doing other shit and media day stuff, that shit could just go wrong,
right?
You know. So it's good to get it out and just get it done. But, man, I'm trying to think, what's that? We got that podcast award or something that somebody gave us for the most consistent or something.
Most consistent.
At this point, just rename it. Just rename the shit, you know, because we should be a shoo-in for this year.
I mean, has anybody else done 350 consecutive weeks without fail?
I mean, I'm not sure what Rogan's run was.
Okay, it might be pretty good.
He's got a few episodes.
Hold on.
Should I bring him up?
So he's beating us. He's beating us in consistency, but we're surely beating him in audience size.
Oh, of course, easily.
Okay,
easily.
So
I mean, just the other day, I think it was Sirius and some other ones that reached out and were like, "Would you like to be on our show on our platform?"
Right.
I was like, "Bro, we appreciate
it.
We like staying low key. You know, we want to just stay at YouTube.
Spotify came with that 100 million.
Can I just say, I'm glad you guys stay low key as well, or I wouldn't be working anymore. Let's be honest. Some of the things I've crashed on this fucking podcast.
That's true. We have, that just brought up tears. We have ruined careers before. We have. We have got people fired from their 10-year job or whatever.
Kind of just brought it down there for a second. Shout out to Fiasco Jones. Pour one out for the homie.
Well, RIP.
He's much happier in his new position anyway, so it turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
He's at like some place doing like fitness videos or something, which is totally him.
Wow.
I know. He walked in. He was like, "Are they judging me? He's like, "I open up the company fridge and it's all like fitness bars and fitness drinks."
That's hilarious.
I was like, "Take a hint."
Whoo, man.
Yeah.
It's making me
Good
feel
time.
Bad. All right, UFC 269. Let's move on so we're not getting anybody else fired. UFC 269 Oliveira versus Poirier is, of course, the event this week. Man, I got to be honest with you. I mean, look, we're fortunate as hell to have this for this job for a living, right? I mean, we go, we watch fights, we talk to fighters. It's amazing. If you're a fan of mixed martial arts, how could you not love what we get to do? I got to say, though, this one, like, as the fan inside me, you know what I mean? Like, look, it's week after week of fights, and sometimes it gets a little repetitive and whatever. But, dude, I am so pumped up for this main event, especially. Like, I just think two guys that have, like, put in the hours, put in the work, deserve to be where they're at, are phenomenal fighters, are at amazing stages of their career. Good people. This is no gimmick. This is no hype. This is no selling something that's not there. This, to me, is just a phenomenal main event. And I got to say, man, I am as excited about this fight as I can think of one in a long time. And I don't know if that's a sentiment you guys share. Like I said, I still don't know exactly how good this thing is going to do on pay-per-view. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe Dustin Poirier has got that Conor McGregor rub after the last two fights. He's definitely a bigger star than he's ever been before. But I don't know if this is going to do a ton of money in terms of sales.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, me right now, I'm fired up. And talking to the guys today didn't change that one bit, man.
I mean, I'm definitely fired up for this. I mean, and you're right. I mean, these are two guys we've been watching for quite some time. And the fact of watching their sort of career arc just being the guys that have just been grinding and fighting all these guys. And it was always like, man, when are they going to get their shot? When are they going to get their shot? Dustin had the chance at the interim title, had his hands on it for a while. But you're watching two guys that you couldn't respect and like more,
right?
You know? I mean, they've always been great, you know. Charles got the best teeth in the game, you know. We well paid money on that one.
Darren Till might beg to differ. He's like,
I mean, the only thing that – and you can't understand either one of them, you know. I'm just kidding. I love Darren Till. But, like, Charles, I think the only thing that really stopped him – from being even a bigger star is the fact that there is that language barrier.
I agree.
But I think you're right. I think Dustin, while he did get some shine from all the Conor thing, what's a little rough and what's weird is that people have short memories. Like, if I went back and asked my family right now and said, hey, you remember that McGregor fight that you guys got excited for and you saw it, tell me what the name of the guy was that beat him.
Right.
Tell me the name. And I don't know if they
maybe would, they wouldn't.
I don't know if they'd be able to pull that off. But people that have been watching the sport, I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a person that doesn't like Dustin's story, that doesn't, you know, that has something bad to say. I mean, I think it would be hard to find somebody that says, man, I just don't like that guy. Man, his work ethic.
There's something wrong with you.
There's something. Yeah, I mean, there's something wrong with you if you find something wrong with him. I mean, this card in general, I love that it's in a big venue, but I mean, we'll talk about it all. But I mean, top to bottom, this is probably one of the coolest cards, top to bottom, of just killer fighters and matchups that you think that maybe would have been cool to see. Some of these would have been cool to see them maybe happen a little while ago, but still now you're seeing, maybe a changing of the guard in some of these ones, and you're seeing like up-and-coming guys that maybe people don't know quite who they are.
Think about it today when we were at the UFC Apex, right? Like, we walk in, and I see Alex Perez sitting over there, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm like, oh, wait, we're not even talking to him today. You know what I mean? Oh, Ryan Hall, we're not even talking to him.
Yeah.
We saw Julian Robertson. We saw Randy Costa. We saw all these people.
Yep.
They're not even part of media day because they're so far down on the prelims. That's how good this card is.
And every person you name, that's the future stars. I mean, these are the guys that they've already grabbed, you know, great headlines and had wonderful performances. I mean, who doesn't love Robertson, man? I absolutely love her.
Yep.
But I mean, like, every dude that you named, Perez, Costa, all these guys, they're studs, man.
Yep.
And it's just crazy because, you know, even going into the fact that, you know, everybody made a big deal about Dominic Cruz being on the prelims, but that just goes to show you the strength of this card. Could that fight have been moved up? Absolutely.
Sure.
It could have. But at what point? I mean, do you say, okay, sorry, Cody, I know you're making your debut at this. No, we're not going to have that. I think the only one that maybe Jeff Neal, Ponzinibbio, but Ponzinibbio has been this guy that everybody's like saying he's a future title.
And that should be an absolute banger,
And that should be absolutely crazy. So, I mean, this is one of those ones where, you know, I don't think enough people talked about the fact that, you know, this is two title fights. You know, we've had some of these pay-per-views where they just had the ones. This is two title fights, and this is still an interesting enough title fight on the co-main where I think a lot of people are still like, oh, man, it just walks through everybody. So it's almost like they think that this is just a one title fight card.
But I'm intrigued by this matchup.
That fight is going to be good.
I'm intrigued by this matchup.
It's going to be good.
I'm pumped up. All right, so let's talk about the main event first, right? Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira. Dustin Poirier today came in. Dustin, as you said, man, He's so easy to respect right now, man. And the way he talks and the way he represents, he's such a great representative
back
of the sport.
Gives back to his community. Every time he comes back, he has some news story about what they're doing, and it's just like you have to like the dude even more.
I love the quote today, and it's so true. You know, where he talks about this is 25 minutes for eternity, right? Because it's absolutely true. Once a champ, you are always a champ. Yeah. That never can be taken away from you. That is etched in stone forever, and this is his opportunity to do that. And, you know, he had the interim belt, and he's had some great moments, but he's always kind of slipped up a little bit. But it feels like now he's executing at a higher level. Meanwhile, you have Charles Oliveira, who says, look, I don't have anything to prove. Like, I have gone through this. I've set records. Because I know some people probably say, well, you picked up a vacant title. You know what I mean? Well, you didn't. You know, look who you beat. You know, you beat Chandler. Who he wasn't.
Because you're talking in reference where the fight, the reporter was like, do you feel like you're a champ because you haven't defended
the belt
yet?
And he's like, take that cliche out, man. He's like, bro, yep, I've been here for I've been doing this for 11 years, man. Oh, I got the knockouts record. I got the bonuses record. I got the Smith. He's like,
that's almost better, right?
Yeah, man.
I mean, like, title defenses are great, but what if every title defense is just you go in there and you smash people? Like, what people think about Amanda sometimes, like, they're just like, oh, well, of course she was going to win.
He earned his way here, man.
He earned his way here.
Nothing was given. Yep. He got it all the way. So, I'm pumped about that. This is why I'm so excited about it right now. But here's what I want to get to is kind of what you guys are thinking about this fight, because I picked Dustin Poirier. And it looks to me from what I can tell, I mean, obviously he's a favorite according to the odds makers. Not a huge favorite, but he's a favorite according to the odds makers. But it looks to me that it seems like damn near everybody is picking Dustin Poirier. And I get it. You know what I mean? Yep. I get it because – you know, he's on the run. He's had the impressive wins over Connor. You know, he's the guy. Like, you think about it. And I know, look, I think Charles Oliveira is not that same guy he did used to quit a little bit. If he wasn't ahead, if he wasn't the hammer, if he was the nail.
If his eye maybe got poked a little
bit. Yeah, man. If it wasn't going his way,
he looked for a way out.
He faded real quick. I don't think he's that guy anymore. Yeah. I don't think he's that guy anymore. I think that he does have heart. I think that he is, you know, a solid contender. So, I get why everybody's picking Dustin Poirier. I picked Dustin Poirier. But I'm telling you what, man, as we're getting closer and closer to this, I'm wondering, Charles Oliveira is so damn dangerous, man, and he can snatch up submissions in a heartbeat.
Yep.
And I'm starting to wonder a little bit, man, is this a much more dangerous fight than I think anybody is really giving credit for?
And I think you're right. You know, and funny enough, that I was watching our staff picks come and everybody was Dustin. So I, in turn, being devil's advocate, I went Charlie Olives.
Did you win Oliveira?
I did. You know, and mainly the biggest thing that got me was his performance against Michael Chandler last time. You know, and just watching what he was able to do to get the title, the way that he was able to use his hands and just showed good striking. Do I think he's at Dustin's level? No, not at all. When it comes to technicality, but is he good for a good couple in a row to hurt his opponent and then get a hold of him? Absolutely, and that's exactly what he did with Chandler.
Yep.
He hurt him, and then he got him down, and he was able to do what he needed to do.
Right.
But his striking looked better than ever. His confidence level, and I think with the fact of a lot of people, I think he has addressed, I think he got tired of hearing that, oh, did he give up in the past? Did he give up in the past? And that absolutely motivated him to get to what he's been doing right now, you know. So do I think he's going to allow himself to break right now? I don't think he has it in him because, one, I think he's showing that Brazilian pride where he's so prideful of the fact that he was able to take that belt back home for his country and for himself. I don't think he's going to give that up as easily. I think he's much more now he'd go out on his shield. But that being said, I think Dustin easily – well, I mean, not easily, but has a wonderful chance to win this fight. But part of me was
you're
just
like,
you're
not going to out-heart Dustin Poirier, that's for sure.
Right.
Even though I believe Oliveira has answered those questions, you're not going to out-heart Dustin Poirier.
Right.
But – you can absolutely catch him in a submission. You know what I mean? I know he's a high-level black belt. I know he's a great grappler, but Oliveira's like that next-level
stuff. His submissions are so ridiculous. They're just so slick. I mean, like, kind of like what Hall goes out there. You are like, wait, where did that come from?
Right.
You know, he just slides in these moves, you know. But the fact that he's not afraid to throw hands now and actually has become decent. Well, I want to say he's a good striker. I mean, I'm not going to say put him up there with, like, being one of the great strikers of the UFC, but he's a darn good fighter. And the fact that he's got a killer ground game, dude, I would not be surprised if he does get a submission victory over Dustin.
I would not
be like, oh my God, that was the craziest upset ever.
Hati, I know you're deep in the edit over there with the holy original concept
it's the quietest I've ever been on the podcast.
You're working, so I appreciate you just even taking a moment. But what do you think? I mean, I know you probably overheard a little bit of what we're talking about, but I mean, I are you picking Poirier? And if so, I mean, are do you think Oliveira is being overlooked? I mean, I don't know. Just as we get closer, I'm starting to feel like I feel like my needle's leading back the other way towards Oliveira.
It's funny, right? Because for as odd a sport as this is, it's still a very much a sport of gut instinct and feeling, right? It's not as much as people want to pretend it is. This is not a sport of stats,
right?
I don't think so.
I agree.
You know, I think stats kind of go out the window where people are just swinging limbs at each other. So I've been kind of going on form, right? Well, look, Dustin appears to have really just ratcheted up a level. He really seems to have just reached his new stride, almost his prime, right? He seems to have maybe some of the things that were holding him back before mentally have disappeared. I really think he's come onto his own. And then, as we get a little bit closer, so, you know, when this fight was announced, I thought, well, Dustin Walsh is this guy, and we move on to the next fight, and then there's a real debate. But as we get closer, I get this niggling old feeling in my gut.
I'm telling you.
And the size. I mean, Charles is big.
Oh, he's huge.
I mean if you allowed biting in this fight, there's only one winner, and it's not Dustin.
Those pearly white chompers.
But
he's going to blind him first with the lights. He's going to reflect, and then he goes in for the chomp.
I think
you guys are terrible. Man, it's got a great set of teeth.
They're fantastic.
Listen, as a British man, I can only be envious. You know what I mean?
As a guy that's missing half his teeth, I'm completely envious.
But, no, look, I'm starting to get the same as you, John. I don't know if my needle's leading the other way. I mean, I think it's sloping to the left right now. But if I don't know where it's – I wouldn't go as far as say I'm picking Charles, but certainly
– it's a dangerous fight.
You know, it just I look at that Chandler fight and I think, well, you know, Chandler had him hurt. But there was also a moment where Oliveira had his back. And if you weren't a freak athlete like Chandler, you don't explode out of that to get back on top.
That's exactly right.
If Charles gets Dustin's back, I don't think Dustin blows out of it and turns it around, right? In which case, there's an issue there, right?
You know? Telling you, man, I'm so intrigued
by
this
fight. That's
when
that heart has to show up for Dustin to get him out of it. That's when those moments where you're just like, oh, he's done.
Well, that's the
and
real.
The only person that wore him out was Khabib.
That's the real thing, right? So you does know, the heart
Khabib
come in?
Broke
where,
it.
Yeah, when Khabib comes and holds
Khabib
you,
breaks everybody.
And you
though.
Saw Khabib break Dustin. Does he get in the same situation and show like, no, I've grown, and then he changes?
Well, that would be amazing. I mean, that's how the movie would be written, right?
Exactly.
Would be the script. But I'll tell you what's interesting is you can't forget as well, too, that, you know, obviously, number one, Khabib is Khabib. No question about that. Number two, let's not forget about that environment that he was fighting in as well, right? The heat of that. Remember that event? That was the one where it was in the tent and there was the heat. And also,
yes,
of course,
I loved it. It was a great time and I was happy to have gone.
Well done, sir. You get to travel to Abu Dhabi again. And it was just, man, the temperature there was tough. It was also just like that, the audience that was 100% Khabib, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe some of those things will change. But ultimately I picked Poirier, but I think this is a dangerous fight, and I am super intrigued by
this. The fans
are
who wins this one.
The fans win. That is a solid cop out there. Amanda Nunes versus Juliana Pena. Okay, I want to ask you, and you touched on it earlier, right, because Amanda Nunes – is the GOAT. There's no question about it, right? To me, she is the women's GOAT. I do think, as Kayla Harrison has been saying lately, I do think Chris Cyborg is the GOAT featherweight, but I do think Amanda Nunes is the GOAT female fighter. She smashes everybody. I don't pick against Amanda Nunes. I'm not picking against Amanda Nunes here. But I'll tell you what, Juliana Pena does bring some things to the cage that I think can make it interesting. Now, I don't know. I mean, Amanda could absolutely go out there and smash her as well, and it would not shock me. But I will say this. Juliana has the right game, and she's saying the right things.
Yep.
And I think I might be more intrigued for this Amanda Nunes fight than I have for any of hers in a long time.
I mean, Juliana certainly talks a good game. I mean, she brings it. I think she brings unique mindset. She does bring a wealth of skills. But it's just something weird happens sometimes when the ladies get in there. They want to turn it into a striking match, and they forget that they have other skills.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't win when it becomes a striking match with Amanda Nunes. I mean, if Juliana can keep her on the move, you know, try to keep her don't just square up and try to say, hey, let's test chins, let's test power. If that happens, I think it's going to be a short night. You know, I think she needs to wear Amanda down. She's got to take her deep where, you know, that's the tough thing. How do you get Amanda to expend energy without letting her throw punches and without her getting some sort of ground game? If she's going to try to get in there and try to just grab her and hold her against the cage and try to work her to get Amanda down, she's going to spend a lot of her energy as well.
And if you if you want to take Amanda at her word, Amanda says this is the best weight cut she's ever had.
And look who she's wrestling and training with. She's training with fucking Kayla Harrison, right, dude. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I mean, like, Juliana's going up against probably, like what I've always said, when somebody's going to be beating Amanda, it's when Amanda does, the Amanda that we know doesn't show up.
Right.
It has to take a bad Amanda showing up for someone else, even on their best day, to win. Because Juliana's not going to go in there. She's not going to hurt Amanda with strikes.
Right.
She needs to get her down, take her back, do something. But Amanda's been training with the best of the best right now. And she's really pretty darn decent as well on the ground, getting back up to where she needs to be. That being said, Juliana's saying everything the right. But, I mean, I feel like we've said this over and over again. It's like, somebody comes in and is like, oh, I'm confident, you know, and they're saying the right things. But then they get in there and they take a punch, and then you see something change in their face.
It changes everything.
The same thing when people fought Cyborg.
Yep.
You know, this is the woman that crushed Cyborg's soul.
I will say this. I am as intrigued by this fight as I was. I won't say by the Cyborg fight. I mean, Cyborg and Shevchenko are the fights with Amanda Nunes that I was most like, wow. It's not like I'm saying, like, it's one of those things where, like, if you were looking at, like, a video game or whatever, and you were looking at, like, their player rating or whatever, like, Amanda's higher than Juliana. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
But it's the styles make fights argument, right?
What would you rate her? I mean, if you gave numbers or if you gave, like, letters.
I'm not going there,
she's
sir.
I'd say she's a solid 85 to 90-ish.
I was going to say 86. How about that? All right, there you go. Yeah. See, solid 86.
I mean, in terms of how she carries.
In terms of the grappling game.
Yeah.
And she's saying that, look, she's saying the right thing. She's carrying herself the right way.
Well, as for carrying herself and, like, the work that she's done, we've said this over and over again. Like, when these fighters have gone out there and started doing commentary work, did some other stuff where they're in front of the cameras, they are so amazing. When she was throwing you back, her first answer was so slick.
She's so polished.
She was like, boom, boom, boom. Well, John, blah, blah, blah. I was like, not only did she repeat the question, she threw the interviewer's name back in. I was like, this woman's good.
Professional.
This woman is a pro.
Gave a shout out to Campbell McLaren for the opportunity.
Dude, like, that was really,
I enjoyed that.
Throw it out to the boss,
I mean, she has a future in fighting. Will she be a future champ in that division right now with Amanda there? No. But does she have a bright future in MMA, whether it be commentary and doing other stuff? Absolutely. I mean, I love her personality. I love what she's doing. I mean, we've seen others go on and do it. Like, Laura Senka does a great job.
Phenomenal.
Laura Senka was probably half as good of a fighter as what Juliana's right now.
And Laura would be the first to tell you that.
I'm not trying to slight Laura by any means. I was a big fan of hers and watched her in Invicta and everything. But she's absolutely fantastic. She's found her calling. And I just feel like Juliana right now, she's gonna do well in MMA. But when it comes to when it's Amanda on the top, she's not gonna breach that summit. That's
right.
Not gonna happen. But that doesn't mean she can't have a successful career still in MMA.
Absolutely.
And then outside of it afterwards, I think she's going to be even more appreciated. Just like look at DC. Look at what DC has been able to do and thrive after his MMA career. A lot of people now remember him more for just talking and enjoying the things, whether it be good or bad.
Dominic Cruz doesn't.
Dominic Cruz doesn't seem to like it.
You know what? I was going to get there. Hell, let's just go to there, right? Dominic Cruz, basically, just since you brought up Daniel Cormier's name, Dominic Cruz absolutely just.
That bus that was just going outside, just he just pushed him right under.
All right,
right,
so what do you guys make out? Because here's the thing. Is obviously, we already have a story on MMA Junkie. I'm sure every other website out there has a story on it as well. I'm sure these comments are the hottest thing going.
Yeah.
All right. To me, I definitely think Dominic was being honest. Like, I don't think he was lying.
Yeah, yeah.
But I felt like he was just kind of needling a guy that he considers
absolutely
a buddy.
A brother. He considers him a brother.
If you didn't watch the whole scrum, he said later, I consider him a brother.
Yeah.
So I just feel like this is the part that sucks sometimes. And maybe it's because Dominic's personality, or it's the way he talks, or it's the way he delivers things.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like all the headlines out there are like, Dominic Cruz just, you know, slashes.
We did the same thing, and I fucking cringed, you know, because I felt like that wasn't the full context of it.
Right.
I mean, like, these two challenged themselves.
Like, it's like he's busting balls.
It's a bro,
right?
bro competition. Like, I think they challenged themselves. They both have a familiar background in the whole wrestling game. Granted, they went to two different areas and how far one went as opposed to the other, but to me, it feels like that playful, fun rivalry where it's like, I'm going to bust your balls. And now you have to say something next time that's going to be even better on me. You know, like, I think there's definitely some truth in it because
There's definitely truth there. But Anik and Dominic Cruz are like meticulous tape watchers. They're like
and you know who was the first one that both of them modeled themselves after?
Brian Stann.
Dominic Cruz, after Brian Stann used to go and do all these shit, and he would go and he would follow the media days.
Brian Stann would show up to the media days and listen in, get his own answers, and do his own interviews. Yep.
And then Dominic started to come and watch that.
Yep.
John Anik saw that and watched that and started doing it. So all those cats got the same thing. I think this is, if anything, Dominic takes a lot of pride in his work that he does leading up to it. But I didn't feel like it was like, oh, my God, he just took his bud to the woodshed.
And I feel like that's the way the coverage is out there right now. Maybe I'm misreading it, but to me, it didn't.
Everybody took it way too serious.
I think so, too, man.
I think there's definitely, while there is seriousness in it, it's done with love that they can jab and they can laugh about it. Even, like, I thought somebody said, like, oh, was it Dan that was saying, like, oh, he saw Daniel in the background, was like, listen to what Dominic's saying back to me, or did I make that up in my head? Was DC there today, and did Daniel hear him say something?
No. But he was kind of like in jest, right? So Cormier was saying, like, oh, I'm going home to lick my wounds, you know? Yeah. Did you hear what Cruz said to me? And actually, Brett Okamoto, he filmed Bisping, DC, and Cruz all sitting together, and he tagged it the most dysfunctional commentary team you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And indeed, Bisping's going, guys, why don't we all, you know, like just, and you could just tell that they'd all been in a big, like poking each other.
Right?
It's just alpha male shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I think maybe, as one who could perhaps relate to this, being the smaller guy, Cruz feels...
I thought you were going to say an alpha male. Of course.
But I think maybe Cruz feels... I don't know. I think Cruz feels he's the smartest guy in the room at all times. That's not a negative. That's not like
that.
A diss. I think that's just...
I mean, in terms of like fight IQ, his fight IQ is out of the world.
It's off the charts.
It's crazy. And he does the work.
Criticisms of Cormier about, oh, he doesn't do his research. He comes in, he kind of blags it a little bit and gets out. Those are not the first times I've heard those criticisms.
It's definitely true. Yeah. DC, but in fairness, DC also has like 50 projects going on, right?
Yeah.
So, to be honest with you, I don't think... The UFC crew, the ESPN crew, like I don't think they care if DC does tape study. That's the thing.
Felder's not doing crazy tape study, probably. Brandon's, or like most of these other cats, you know, if Anthony, Lionheart and these guys, the guys on the fucking desk, you think they're going back home and doing crazy shit?
I think Anthony does.
Well, maybe he is. You know,
I mean,
I guarantee half those guys up there aren't doing the crazy leg work that Dominic does.
But I think Anthony does. DC's like at the top. Dominic Cruz is at the top of it,
yeah.
and Anik at the top of it. So yeah, I guess that's just what I want to throw out there because I saw all the coverage start to happen. And I saw social
media
light up.
It's
just
so bad that it became so big.
I do too, I wonder. I mean, I guess the good thing is that both Dominic and DC can probably just laugh it off or whatever. I mean, like I said, they consider themselves brothers.
Now DC's going to have to one-up it. DC's going to have to find something
to
say.
He's going to have to slam him somewhere. So I think people kind of misread the room a little bit in some of that coverage, man. I really think he was just kind of busting balls. So we'll see. All right, listen, we'll go back to Dominic later, but I did want to ask you, since we were talking about the co-main event, Kayla Harrison. All right, you see, I believe it was Aaron Bronstetter talked to Dana White today. Dana White confirmed, like, hey, we are actually – in some conversations with her team, which, you know, originally he had said, I think she should stay where she is, and et cetera, et cetera. I think I said at the time, I think that's some posturing right now. I think that they are interested in her, and now we're seeing
how
that is the truth. You have to be. So what do you guys think about this? I mean, do you think – I don't know if the UFC is – and by the way, I asked Amanda Nunes about it today, and she said, hey, it's up to her. She's got to make her decision, you know. Because I do wonder, like, do they want – and I spoke to Kayla recently, and I was like, would you prefer to avoid it if you have – or do you welcome it? And it sounds like they're both just like, hey, if it's got to happen, it's got to happen.
Yeah. And I think that probably could. There was a part of me that thought, like, if they ever became really, really good friends, I could see where Amanda's like, go for featherweight. Your thing. I'll hold on to the bantamweight or whatever. But between the two of them being two just badass ladies, they might decide at some point, you know – for you, I'm willing to fight you.
For the
I know
paycheck
you're willing
that comes with it.
For the paycheck that's
right,
going to come
you bring
with
in,
it.
If you bring in Kayla, see, it's weird because like I feel like, honestly, like Bellator would be the best place for her to go if you're talking about like having multiple fights. But, I mean, if you're talking about what you could do in the UFC, like the ceiling of the financial pay has to be much higher than what Bellator can pay. But I think what you'd have to do is – you can't just bring her in right away and put her against Nunes, right? Like, even though she has an undefeated record, even though she's a PFL champ, What do you think? You got to give her one fight, two fight. I mean, you set her up, right? Yeah. You give her somebody that you think she can absolutely destroy.
That's what's tough, though, because you know how much money she wants. And it's like, we don't want to give her a gimme fight either. And bring in the same thing when they brought Chandler. We knew he was getting a pretty decent paycheck, but they didn't give him any chumps for his first fight either. But you got to figure that. She's got to fight two or three times.
At least two times.
It just feels like you're just bringing the stud in, and then all of a sudden you're going to get a big pay. And then what happens if she loses? Then you're like, okay, now we start giving her the lower level, at some point.
And they don't even have a 145-pound division.
You got to get your money's worth, I think. If you're going to give her the money, she deserves the money. If you're going to give her the money, give her some chance to get that PR wing going. You know, let her work two or three fights, you know, where the whole hype about around her gets bigger. And then it's just only going to make that inevitable meeting between her and Amanda be that much bigger, worth that much more money. And who knows? I mean, I still believe, as much as Amanda's enjoying herself, I think she's enjoying the fact that she's able to do both divisions. I still feel like the sunset is coming.
Sure.
The end is coming for her. I just don't know when. I think we said last year that I think we picked like within two, maybe like two, I don't even feel like 3 years. I don't think she'll make 3 years. I feel like
I don't either.
I think we'll be lucky if we get two more years
out of her. By the way, fight week. And she's the one pushing around the baby today, right? You know what I mean?
You could tell she absolutely adores being
amazing.
A mother.
She made
me a little jelly when she was talking about it. I was like, damn. She's like, if you guys don't have one, I'm telling you, you would like it.
She was spot on, though, when she talked about, you know, with the joy of being a parent. And,
yeah.
You know, she said it too right away. You know, and you're right. She was absolutely beaming as she was talking about this. Boy, she was so relaxed today.
She was like, because Reagan was looking at the whole time and like, I swear
she was saying mama every once in a while.
And then she was just like, dude, and I was like, dude, I was so happy for her because, I mean, like, I remember her talking about it beforehand. It was always about, oh, when Nina's going to get pregnant or whatever, going to do this. And, you know, there was that build up and that lead up to it. And then there was when she was pregnant. And then when they actually had the baby, you know, and then just seeing her now. I mean, like, her life is absolutely
right.
I'm sure there's some small little thing that's not perfect, but it seems absolutely perfect right now.
Yeah.
She's on top of two divisions. She's making good money. She's getting the fights that she wants, and she's absolutely loving everything about her life right now. It's so happy to
see.
And
I think she's got a lot of money in the bank, and, you know, I think she's comfortable. I wonder if the play is – because, listen, I mean, I've talked to Kayla multiple times about this, and she's always been very consistent. She said, look, I'm not saying I won't fight Amanda. I will. But if we do it, it's going to be respectful. It's going to be a competition. It's going to be, you know
–
she's like, I think it would suck to have to split the gym apart, and we don't want to do that. So I wonder if the play is
– and at what division? I mean, obviously
it has
to be
45. Yeah, it's got to be 45. So I wonder if the play, though, is to sign with the UFC and then Amanda walks away and you fight for the title – but, I mean, at that point, the UFC, do they get their money's worth? I mean, I think they can. Like, they can make – I mean, if the PFL can make Kayla a star, the UFC can definitely make Kayla a star.
Kayla's going
to
go in and wreck shop, man.
I know.
She is just going to fucking wreck these girls. She's doing it right now. For people that think that Kayla's not UFC, top UFC caliber right now, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
She is absolutely fantastic. She is probably going to be proven to be, if she hasn't already – the best Olympian that's made the crossover to MMA out of all of them. Henry Cejudo was absolutely amazing what he was able to do at the end of it. But what Kayla's going to be able to do, I think, at the end of the day, she's going to surpass them all.
So what do you think? Where do you want to see her? Do you want to see her in the UFC or do you want to see her in Bellator?
I'd like to see her in the UFC. I mean, I think the Bellator should just wreck shop. But if Bellator has the paycheck to give her the money and she's happy with it, I think she'll fight more often in the Bellator.
That's it. There's no division. But I guess I guess that if she comes to the UFC, then the UFC would be committing that, hey, we're going to build this division around
you. And I just feel like Bellator, like Scott Coker, they understand, like, they're not afraid to put their marquee fighter out there. If they have somebody that's good and that people want to pay attention to, they're going to make them fight.
Yep.
I mean, if anything, they'll just make a whole they'll make a Grand Prix around her and make a tournament, you know, and then hopefully find some other stars, you know, around it or something. I mean, and if she's into it, I mean, that would give her, you know, maybe at least two or three fights that year or something, maybe culminating into the title. Maybe how many does it usually work out? About four?
Yeah, usually three or four.
Something like that. I mean, like, that's fantastic. We're not getting that out of Amanda in the UFC. I mean, we're not getting – I mean, like
– I think – me personally, if she goes to Bellator, at least I know we'll see the Cyborg fight, and that would be an amazing fight, right?
That would be. I just wonder.
Like, I kind of would like to see her in the UFC as well because I think she deserves that platform. But I just wonder if, like, there's behind this, and I haven't heard this, so I'm not trying to like throw something out there that I know because I haven't. But I wonder if there's like – because if she comes to the UFC and she doesn't fight Amanda, then I feel like it's a waste. You know what I mean? Like I feel like I need to see her fight one or the other. And if she goes to Bellator, I know she'll fight Cyborg. I understand why she may not want to fight Amanda, obviously the teammate situation, all that.
Yeah.
But I would just feel like it's a damn waste if she comes and then doesn't fight her.
I mean, that would be the biggest possibility of a paycheck immediately that the UFC has.
Yes.
But in time, maybe somebody would rise. But would they rise to the level of where this fight could be? No.
Yeah.
I mean, because you got the GOAT. And, like, if you that would be a literal changing of the guard, because then at that point, you know, if you beat the GOAT and the GOAT retires, then you'd have to think, well, okay, right now Kayla Harrison's got to be the most dominant UFC or women's fighter that there is, you know. And then that begs the discussion, and then they start bringing the contenders, and then maybe you start building something. But if that fight doesn't happen, I mean, sure, would it suck? Absolutely. I mean, but would there still be other great fights?
Still be great to see Kayla come in and putting on highlights.
Because Kayla, she makes her fight.
She's great.
She's the complete package when it comes to being able to sell a fight.
Yep.
She looks great, and she goes out there and absolutely dominates her performance. I mean, she has absolutely everything going for her.
I'm intrigued.
And I think
that's
an American that somebody could get behind, and like you want to give somebody that can instill like country pride that people can actually start going out there getting all the ridiculous like USA chants, which I absolutely love, but it just sounds weird because we never
it's pretty dorky.
So weird. But I come from a college where everybody says OHIO and I love it. So
we'll see how it plays out, man. I'm intrigued by it. All right, Jeff Neal versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. Yeah. Obviously, this fight is going to be – on paper, it looks like it's going to be a phenomenal fight. It took a little bit of a weird turn with the arrest of Jeff Neal for DUI. I will say, I think Jeff handled it like a pro. I mean, obviously, he came in today. It was his first public comments, I think. I hadn't seen anything before.
Yeah.
He talked about it. If you haven't seen it, you know, he basically said, look, don't think I've been out drinking every night during the middle. You know, it was Thanksgiving.
And if you have, that's no problem.
And it's not an issue to drink every
day. This is the MMA Roadshow where we drink hashtag Frosky beverages.
I'm not judging you, bro. Trust me. I'm not judging. But I do think, you know, fans and bettors and people trying to break things down, I think they're trying to see, like, hey, is this dude, like, taking training seriously? Yeah. And he said, look, absolutely taking training seriously. Had a night out. I think from what you can gather, he didn't obviously give a lot of specifics, but it sounds like him and his girl maybe had like a little bit of an argument. But from not domestic violence type stuff.
Yeah.
There's no charges like that. But I think they just got into an argument. It was a single car accident, from what I understand. So I think maybe he just got distracted, or maybe I don't know exactly. And then of course the weapons charge, which sounds like a big deal, is not necessarily especially in Texas. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My parents carry guns in their car.
I was going to say, I carry.
For zero reason whatsoever.
The only issue I have with him, I'm like, you know, like, if you're going to carry, you're not supposed to drink.
Right.
Don't drink. Just leave your firearm. But I get it, you know, like,
but,
I mean.
But in Texas, like, people have it, like, in their dash, you know,
which is probably the case. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like it's the boogeyman. He's like, oh, he's so evil, he's carrying his gun. Like, I carry guns sometimes to go to the supermarket.
He was kind of laughing. Like, he didn't make any excuse, by the way. He did say, like, I'm the dumbass that did it, so I got to own up to it.
But I thought that was probably one of the best lines he said, because it was just like, it was self-defacing, but it was humorous.
It was humorous. But he did say, too, he's like, and he said, so, by the way, if anybody didn't see it, he took a, for the blood alcohol level, he took a blood test rather than a breathalyzer. The results of that aren't back yet. So he actually thinks maybe that the blood test, he'll be under the limit. We'll see if he is or not, which would mean, I think, a dismissal of charges. But it was funny because he even said, he's like, it made it sound like I'm driving around, you know, drunk with a Mac-10 in my lap. Just, he's like, it's not exactly like that. So, but it is true. Like, when you hear DUI and weapons charges, you're like, oh, no. And he's like, not exactly like that. So, I don't know. Anyway, I think this is going to be a fantastic fight. Santiago Ponzinibbio said, look, I was worried for a day or two. I went Ponzinibbio.
Did you?
I went Ponzinibbio.
I went Party Boy.
He's like, you're so
ridiculous.
That's
his new nickname,
dude.
Jeff Party Boy Neal, man.
You're so ridiculous. Like, hey, man, you really shouldn't factor this in at all. But I'm not Party Boy. I'm going to be honest.
His power is fantastic, but Ponzinibbio was super dangerous. I just don't know how he's had good fight. I just don't know how back he is.
I know.
And Jeff Neal, his power, man, is just fantastic.
I'm going to be honest with you. I will say this. I did factor in everything that's going on in my – in my pick. Like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't pick Ponzinibbio anyway. Ponzinibbio is a fantastic fighter.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest. Not so much that I don't think Jeff Neal is taking training seriously, but I just think, like, dude, this has to be a distraction.
Has to be on your mind.
It has to be. Yeah. So I
think you're right.
I went Ponzinibbio.
I still went Party Boy.
You're so ridiculous. Don't judge him by this, but his nickname's Party Boy now. Phenomenal fight there. All right, Cody Garbrandt versus
I say that with respect.
Oh, with all due respect, of course.
Now I know that he's a CCW holder. Shit, he's got my Uber respect.
All right, Cody Garbrandt moving down to flyweight to take on Kai Kara France. Okay, you've seen the social media pictures. We saw him today. I will say this. Cody Garbrandt, I think a lot of times I feel like he has a chip on his shoulder. It didn't feel that way today. It felt like he was honestly like kind of happy to talk to people. He talked about the word he kept using was inspired.
Inspired.
You know, wanted to focus on that. I don't know, man. I'm intrigued by this move to flyweight. And, you know, from talking to him and talking to other people around him, it just sounds like bantamweight was really just, like, super easy for him to make, and that maybe this was the move he should have made all along. In fact, he even said that, I think he said, I wish I would have done this earlier because it's forced me to be disciplined. It's forced me to focus a little bit more. Man, I'm intrigued by this fight because, you know, on the one hand, it could turn out to be a total disaster. I mean, what if he misses weight, or what if it turns out that, you know, his chin's gone after cutting weight or whatever the case may be.
And if the power's really not there.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, and look, you're not getting a gimme fight in Kai Kara France. It's like you're walking in and be like, hey, we'll set you up with an easy one. But I will say this. If it is true, and what Cody says is like, man, this has inspired me. I'm more dialed in than ever. Dude, when Cody Garbrandt is executing, my God. I mean, that dude, I mean, still one of the greatest title-winning performances of all time. I know that was 5 years ago at this point, but that was still one of the greatest performances of all time. And an Ohio fella as well.
I know. I'm like, it's almost a gimme at that point. And I've always kind of homered for him being an Ohio guy, but, I mean, I've loved his performances. When if his power is truly still there, he's going to be dangerous. I just hope that the cardio and everything that needs to do, like you said, if he's not normally too heavy, maybe it's not a big deal. Maybe he'll be able to go a good solid three rounds, you know, 100%, no problem, you know, and still being able to throw, you know, heavy hands. Kai's super, super tough. Kai's got a lot of crazy weapons. I mean, the thing Cody has to watch, it's not just going to be hands coming. It's going to be hands. It's going to be kicks.
Right.
It's going to be all these sort of things. And I mean, you know, even when I look back at that Dominic fight, when he was sort of toying around with Dominic the whole time, I was still nervous. I was like, dude, stop playing. Like, stop playing. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. So hopefully, you know, if he sort of has a good – if he's feeling himself this fight, you know, hopefully it's real and he stays smart and understands that you made a decision to go down to this division. Don't fuck up your debut in it. Like, don't – go half, don't, you know, it's not like I'm going to say half-ass it like he didn't train and prepare for it. Don't go out there and do something stupid in that performance just because you're like, whatever, because this is not the person to do it. He's not starting at the bottom of the barrel. I mean,
right.
Like, Kai Kara France is a dangerous, dangerous guy.
I know.
And I feel like he was a guy that we were talking about when he was making his like, sort of first UFC fights, and after he was doing, I was like, everybody was like, this is the guy you got to watch.
Yep.
This guy's got the trajectory to go up to the top, And this is one of those fights that if Kai can get this win over Cody, it's a outstanding
big feather
in his
win. Cap right there.
Huge feather in his cap, you know? And that just sets his trajectory going elsewhere. So, I mean, like, he's going to be coming looking to try to do his best. And he said all the right things as well, saying that they prepared for the best Cody Garbrandt that's going to be up there. They're preparing. I think that they went out there and they prepared for the bantamweight.
Right.
They went out there preparing for a bigger guy that throws heavy hands, but that's the thing, man. Going down, if Cody didn't do the legwork and if he starts getting depleted, if he's only got one good round in him, Kai's going to toy with him.
Oh,
the second and third round is going to be not very good for Cody. But, man, my picks suck this year anyway, so I'm going to homer the hell out of it as well. And I just trust the fact that I feel like this. He's made this move and he's all in. And this is another guy I love hearing about. His mindset and where he's at, he seems like he's in a great place as
he
well.
Does.
You know, and it's just
he
like
does.
If he's coming in here feeling good and he did truly have a good camp and this weight cut was as easy as he makes it seem to be, he doesn't look bad.
See,
at
that's
all.
The thing is that like, and again, I know this sometimes sounds like we're just talking about intangibles, but I do think those intangibles translate to the cage sometimes.
Yeah.
Like when he used to come in and just felt like a chip was on his shoulder, I'm like, why are you harboring all this anger right now?
Yeah.
Like, what are you angry at? You know what I mean?
It's a lot to weight to carry into a fight.
It's a lot. That's a lot of weight to carry.
Yeah,
I mean, and I didn't think he needed that. You know, and today, I don't know, man. He struck me as being in a very good place. I like the inspired talk. I like where he's at. I knew you would homer for Garbrandt. Obviously, you're always going to homer for the Ohio guys, and that's what. But I went Garbrandt as well, man.
Did you?
I went Garbrandt as well because I just feel like.
Well, you're leading the pack, so maybe I picked right.
I feel like if he is if as long as the weight cut isn't a disaster, then he's okay. But I mean, you look at the pictures and stuff, and it's like, dude, it doesn't look like he's waiting till the end for some kind of reason. You know, I don't know exactly what he's walking around at right now, but it doesn't feel like he's waiting until the very end to you know have some hard weight cut to get him there. So I'm intrigued by that. So I went Cody Garber.
Look at you. I think we can actually stay at this point, and we can't jinx you at this point. You're going to be the champ.
I hope so.
You got quite a big lead.
No, Simon Simano cut into my lead a little bit. I think I'm only up by three now.
Is it?
Maybe. I had a couple setbacks.
For a while there,
six or seven.
Yeah.
I think the lead's like three now, so it's close. There's two cards left. It's close. It's knock on wood, baby.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
I'm going to put my money down that one of the road show hosts is going to be the champion.
Man.
That way, both of us. Because, Oscar, if you don't know this, like in our staff picks, like in the staff picks, there's a little trophy that goes next to your name when
not
you have it.
Money.
Right
not
now, only one of us has it. Right
who's
now,
that? Who's got the trophy?
I got the trophy.
This big guy over here?
Yeah.
Can you believe that,
2018 champ, the first time they let us do it.
Oh, man.
Morgan's been waiting, and this time he's crushing it.
I'm always like second or third, and this year I'm in
You had a big lead. At one point, well, you said like six or seven. I thought it was like closer to 10. I was like, dude, it's a shoe-in.
I mean, it's good that you feel good about coming first. I always prefer to come second, you know, that way.
It's all about multiple comes.
As he clips the bit in pub talk about having chlamydia. Carry on.
Oh, the koala talk.
Yeah.
If people didn't know that, right? Like, koalas are just bearers of chlamydia.
No. Koalas are riddled with chlamydia. They are the animal outside myself that carries the most chlamydia in the animal kingdom. They're just riddled.
What that smell was.
Well, listen, that's the other one. But no, apparently they're riddled with it.
I remember hearing it's like that one of those weird animal facts you hear. And I was like, it's stuck in the back of my head. I was like, that's so strange, but I'm never going to forget that fact.
The more you know.
The more you know. It's like when you find out that, I don't know, donkeys love eating ass, you know?
Well,
I don't know. I was just trying to pull out a brand.
That's the most incredulous I've ever heard Morgan sound. What?
They do.
Oh, my God. What is wrong?
I totally made that up.
It's only Wednesday on Fight Week as well, bro.
I totally made that up. No donkeys were harmed
like
in my life.
Throw out a fact that you actually knew, but like
that,
no, that's the
that
fact
was,
that you
was
made
not
up.
A fact I knew. I just made that up.
Oh,
that up.
Phenomenal.
But
all right.
If it proves to be true, then that's even more fantastic. No donkeys were harmed in the making of that joke.
So ridiculous. He's like, that's why they call him a jackass.
See?
All right. Holly and Piva versus Sean O'Malley kicks off the main card. Holly and Piva, by the way, is a dangerous fighter. I will say this. Sean O'Malley admitted that. He said, look, I'm not overlooking this guy. He is dangerous. Holly and Piva did, you know, have to go through some damage last time to pick up the victory, but he did it. He never gave up. Sean O'Malley said, I give him credit for that. You know, I think my guy Kyler Phillips won, but I'm still going to give him credit.
That was a good fight.
Sean O'Malley, you know, catches heat. And understandably so, I guess. You know, some of the comments he makes, like, I get it why people don't like hearing, like, oh, fight the unranked guys for the same amount of money. But, like, honestly, it's true.
Yeah.
It's just nobody likes to hear it. You know what I mean? And I loved his unranked champion gear. I think it's, like, the biggest troll ever. I love it. I'm all in on Sean O'Malley. I think he's a better fighter than he gets credit for. I understand why he's not ranked right now. I totally get that, and I understand why people don't like him. And I get it, man. When you're brash and bold like that, people aren't going to like you. But I'm telling you, if you are sleeping on Sean O'Malley, I don't think you're being honest about his skills.
Yep.
The dude is talented, and he's, and how about the fact? And look, people aren't going to like that he said this, but I love that he said it. He's like, how many millionaires do you know that aren't ranked? And it's like, dude, think about what he's been able to do at his age.
And it's not just from fighting, which is even the other part that he clarified.
Well, how about this?
You know?
He's also just guaranteed himself a pay rise from Dana just because he's already been out there advocating for fighter pay. Dana's going to be like, yeah, get that guy a pay rise.
I mean, I love everything. I mean, his attitude, his swagger, everything that he brings to it. I mean, like, he's just fantastic. I mean, he's such a personality. But the great thing about him, you know, is he brings it.
He can fight.
I mean, his striking is fantastic. I mean, he just comes at weird, crazy angles, but his jiu-jitsu game is just fucking sick, man. Yep. Like, this kid is so good. You know, when we watched the quintet and we watched some of the other ones, we saw these cats go out there. This was a guy that you knew they were all paying their attention at. They were like, yep, we got to watch this dude.
Yep.
And, I mean, and he proves it every time. I mean, this is Pivot is good. He's a good fighter. He's dangerous. He's strong. He's got a lot of heart. But, man, I just feel like
Pivot needs credit. Like, if you're not – I mean, I get it. He's maybe an under-the-radar kind of guy, but he's always impressed me.
He shows a lot of heart, and he's got it. I mean, like, this would be one of those fights that if people didn't know who he was – this would be that fight where he definitely gets on everybody's radar.
Pivot definitely has the most to gain out of this, right?
Yes, for sure.
If Pivot's the guy that pulls off the win, you know, you shut down Sean O'Malley. Now all of a sudden somebody knows who you are. But
people are going to be like, oh, O'Malley, we just expected you to win. You know, we just blah, blah, blah. You said you didn't want to fight any hard fights. You wanted the easy fights or whatever. But everything, this little sort of empire that Sean's built off to the side, doing just being himself – and building it is it's fantastic. I mean, it's a model that if a fighter has the personality and has a platform, this is kind of the guy. But maybe not everything that he does. I mean, like, if you don't want to advocate all the weed and all the other stuff, I mean,
yeah,
like,
it's not going to be for everybody,
you know. But what he's done is a fantastic thing. I mean, like, and you've seen that, like, this is the day and age of the TikTok stars and the social media kids that are going out there and just making a living for themselves doing this shit. And he's used his platform, and he's bold, he's brash, but fuck, he backs it up, man. I love everything about this kid. The only thing I always worried about him was when we started, we're wondering if it was going to have leg issues, if there was going to be that weird sort of freakish leg thing that would just pop up every once in a while. Like, if he was going to be injury prone, if there was going to be something that just sort of spiked this trajectory, you know. And it doesn't seem like he has that issue right now. I mean, but... I mean, who knows? I mean, like, the sky's the limit for this kid, you know. I just hope something super stupid and random, like his body fighting him for some reason, you know, being the end, being what causes him to not make it to where he could be, because he should be a future. I mean, I think we've said it before. I mean, like, he has all the capability to be a future champ, you know. And
I think so.
He's definitely a future star.
Already, yeah.
Yeah, he's already a star.
He's already a star. So I did pick Sean O'Malley in here, but I want to let you know, I'm not sleeping on Holly and Pivot, man. I've always been high on Holly and Pivot, and it's finally starting to click for him. And so we'll see how things play out. It's a great pay-per-view. The prelims are great. Josh Emmett and Dan Ige, man.
That's pretty cool.
Two guys that, first of all, is going to be absolute fireworks. And two guys that I don't know who you cheer for as a person, right? I mean, they're both great dudes. Ige, you know, Papa Ige, you know, a little frustrated last time out, but, it said he's in a good place now. And Emmett, meanwhile, has had this 18-month layoff and really, man, got choked up. You know, I didn't know the loss he had dealt with. Talked about losing a brother. Talked about losing his grandfather.
And I didn't know that either. And I was like, because, you know, we're editing or whatever, but you could hear how he got thick with emotion. I look at him, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I didn't realize what was going on, you know.
Knew the injuries he was battling, but had no idea that he was dealing with that type of personal loss as well. So that's a phenomenal event, or a phenomenal card, I should say. Pedro Munhoz versus Dominic Cruz. Man, Dominic Cruz, a big moment for him, man. Dominic Cruz, when he's executing and when he's, when he's that guy, he can dominate. And we'll see if he can do so against Pedro Munhoz, who's been that guy. And I kind of joked with him, right? He's on the Legends Tour, right? I mean, he's been fighting all the best of the best. And Pedro, I think Pedro, and I hate to say it, I think Pedro may finally be in that spot where you're like, okay, this guy's probably not going to hold a title, but he's just always in damn good fights, and he's not afraid of fighting the absolute best out there. It's a great fight.
I mean, there's some of those cats, kind of like, you know, when you think of like a Clay Guida. Guida. God, I don't know why I fucking said Guido, because Guido, you're like a Guido. Like Clay Guida, man. Do I think Clay's going to be a champ? No. But do I love every time I see him on the fight card? Absolutely. Pedro's another one of these cats that you know what you're going to get. He's just a wonderful guy to, like, you know. I switched to Pedro, and we were talking about Dan Ige. Right? We were talking about Ige.
Wow, the frosty beverages are hitting. We were talking about Pedro Munhoz.
All right, we were talking about Pedro. Okay, I thought so. We were talking about Emmett, and then I saw the waitress.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah. Is that what the show? Dude, I will say, Sierra Gold over here is doing all right.
I got talent. I know. All right, Boobie's got to me. She's got great boobs. I'm just going to throw it out. Okay, so yes, Pedro. But no, Pedro, I mean, like, He's the kind of cat that will he ever be a champ? No. But, you know, will Clay be a champ? No. But do both guys, every time you see him, because you know what you're going to get on Fight Week. They give great interviews. They have great stories. And they're pure emotion. And they're always been absolutely 100% honest and open every time you see them. You know, like, even when he was struggling, when he wasn't feeling like he was getting his due shot, like he felt like, you know, I've been going out and there putting up the wins. The UFC's not giving him what he needs to be. But he would show back up for another fight, you know, and you knew what you were going to get, you know. It's fantastic. I mean, like, the UFC needs guys like him just in terms, not just for the fact of, like, oh, they need them as, like, fight fillers, but then you need representatives like that. Because those are the kind of cats that you're like, when you look at guys, when you're like, you try to introduce somebody to the sport, and you're like, well, give me some of your favorite fighters. Give me guys that you think would be good to watch their fights. Mm-hmm. He's like one of those cats that you say, yeah, watch this fight. And like, this fight with Cruz is going to be fantastic. Going back to Emmett and Ige fight's going to be fantastic. I mean, boobies. And boobies. This bar does bring some talent, though. And they've been very attentive. And I lose my I'll be honest. I lose my mind when I see a nice pair of boobs.
Oh, so hilarious.
I lost my track of where I was thinking after the bartender walked – or the server walked by. And he was giving me shit.
Yeah, he did.
No, because the server walked
by. About a different fighter.
And I started talking about a different fighter because I was thinking about boobs. Hold on. Right now.
Dude, he's gone. The cold coffee's
Well, no, I had to turn off because he set his gear down and it was like making a bunch of noise.
I thought you were turning me down because you said I was about to talk about tits. And
no,
I was
no,
like,
no, tits is
fine. Oh, well, let me tell you. There are a couple of contenders to the throne in this place. Let me tell you.
I'm telling you, this place brings it, and it's in close proximity.
Sierra Gold.
Right, Sierra,
right not like solid gold, which I
Sierra gold, gold is Sierra gold, but with two D's on the end, so it's like double.
I see what you did there. Now we're
really?
lads.
This is going off the
is
rails.
It really oh, I get it. It's a boob. Thing.
Yeah, like
double
tits.
A. I get it.
Okay, good. Jesus.
Well, this may be an appropriate time to bring up Tai Tuivasa, who probably had the line of the press conference today, right? Oh, wow. He probably had the line of the press conference or the press conference. Gee, now I'm doing it. The media day. Where he was asked how many shoeies
God bless John Morgan for keeping this fucking thing going.
Right?
I know. There's got to be one pro in the team.
He said, how many shoeies have you done? He's like, I don't know. How many times has a priest been to the church? Beautiful.
That was pretty good.
Love Tai Tuivasa. All right, listen.
Who'd you pick in that one?
I picked Tai.
I feel like we have a homer for Tai.
It was a homer pick.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard.
Those don't get published unless it gets bumped to the main card.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic fight as well. And Sakai has every possibility to win that fight. I mean, he's got great durability. He could push Tai, and I think we've seen with Tai, he just it's at the very end. It's just pure grit and heart that gets him. When he starts getting a little behind, but yeah, it's hard to get to pick against the dude because you just like that dude.
He's fun. I mean,
he's just so fun.
He's absolutely fun, and potentially going to keep Dan Hooker from appearing on the final episode of
yes, it does.
Should we promote that? Should we say about the possibility?
No.
Since we haven't really said...
Well, look, I mean, we can... Look.
It's not even that be like the final. It'll just be the end of this chapter.
Well, listen, your audience, I think at this point, well aware of who I am. And
yeah, so I mean, we're the original Pub Talk.
So, the new, younger, fresher Pub Talk could
have... better accent.
Wow, yeah, that's true.
We might be doing one on Sunday. It depends on basically, essentially, how hectic Ty's after party gets. And if we do that one, that will be the last for... I don't know.
Until the immediate future.
To be
continued.
Dan's going to York and then flying back home, right?
Yeah and I fly and to London on Monday.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's a weird one, man. Like, when we started, we kind of just assumed he'd be here indefinitely, and then he wasn't. The bastard.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, because it ended up only being like a month, right?
Wait, dude, I had sponsorships organized by episode 2, and then by episode 3, he was going home. It was killer. So,
But I'm trying to
push
Hot
Tea. And I guess I'm happy for him.
Yeah. But Hot Tea is going to have some time at home, you know, to think about it and see if we can't. Because, one, I mean, like, Hooker was fantastic. I mean, like, just some fighters have it. They have the ability to get in there, be humorous, can take Oscar, you know, on the fly and just roll with it, you know. Will there be others? I guarantee there'll be somebody that can fill in. And it's not like it's just whatever, but
it depends.
Hopefully Pub Talk will continue.
Dan Hooker wasn't the star of the show. Let's be honest with you. It was all Oscar. People are like, I'm
trying
to hear
Oscar. Him every time.
Who is this other guy? What's he even doing here?
Yeah,
what's the point?
Sure. Yeah.
So hopefully it'll just be a short hiatus until...
Well, I think the way I've decided to put it is end of season one.
Season one.
To be continued, and maybe I'll find some other strumpet to... not strumpet. Got distracted there, but thank you for the beer. Oh, fuck.
We are just completely off the rails at this point. I'm going to make a decision here in order to keep the sanity of everybody involved. Hey, listen, prelims look good as well. A couple of great matchups there. Alex Perez versus Matt Schnell is the one that stands out to me on there. But Ryan Hall is on there as well. We mentioned Randy Costa versus Tony Kelly's on there. Jillian Robertson's kicking off the night. She's Team Jillian, Morgan all day.
Ryan Hall, boy. If he comes out with another, what's that, Eminari roll?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he just rolls right out. I love watching him. His whole personality is just so quiet, and he's just like, I'm just going through life, but I'm just destroying dudes in MMA. He's so fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that fight.
You know what I've decided I like about moving to Wednesdays is that nobody's worried about having to wake up at 7 a.m. on Friday.
Right. Tell me about it.
Things are getting a little crazy, and I think it's supposed
to be. The only bad thing is, dude, is that I get drunk 2 days in a row instead.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You do that anyways.
Yeah.
That's like every week.
Phenomenal. All right, listen, we appreciate everybody that put it up with our change of schedule. Again, if you want to support the show, head on to patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. You get exclusive access to the and a half. And, of course, you can just leave us, rate us, review us. I don't know if I want you to rate us or review us after this episode.
Don't rate this one.
Maybe go back and listen to some of the – well, I don't even know if I'd tell you to go back and listen to some of the other 349. I'm not sure, but we appreciate the support. And thanks for listening.